Oh, we're talking New Kids on the Block. Hit it. It was 1989. Toyota launched the Lexus. The Baltic Way peaceful protest was held. Michael Keaton was Batman. And the New Kids on the Block released a double platinum Christmas album. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now joining me is a very special guest from the Tis the Podcast group. It's Kim Cooper. Kim, how's it going?
It's going great, Jerry.
Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Well, as soon as you mentioned New Kids on the Block, I had completely forgotten about this album. And then you mentioned it and all of a sudden it was like the light bulb went up and I just was thrown into like all the memories and the nostalgia of it. So I was like, okay, I got to get you on to talk about this. Yeah, especially when it comes to like fans of material, I love having you guys on, you know, and I, based on, you know, our conversations, you seem like you're definitely a New Kids on the Block fan.
So. I mean, you know, just from way back in the day. So,
have you been to any of their concerts?
Well, you know, and I was like thinking way back and I actually was, went to their concert. It was like my second ever concert.
Nice.
My first was actually Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, awesome.
But my second was New Kids on the Block. And I was asking my stepmom and it was either like she said it was either 1989 or 1990. So
right on.
That was like one of their like first, you know, tours if it was the 1989, which we were pretty sure it was. So
that's so cool. No, I never have seen them, although I did see them when they came out on Fuller House. but I remember like all the girls in class loved New Kids on the Block. That was, you know, when they argued over who is cuter, like Jordan or someone like Joey. I think, was it Danny that was the one that everybody liked also? Or was it Jonathan? I don't remember which one was.
It was probably Danny. Jonathan was like the quiet, shy one.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
But I had a big crush on Jordan.
Jordan, so, yeah. Yeah. Did you like when he came out with his solo material in like
no.
the late 90s? Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I remember the girl I was dating at the time, she really liked New Kids on the Block. And then when he came out with it, she really enjoyed that one. She didn't like Joey's, but she liked, I think it was like Give It to You or something like that, I think was the name of his single. And she really liked it. And I remember at the time being a little jealous of it, like, oh, come on.
You have to like him.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, basically. Yeah, the New Kids. I just remember all the girls loving it. And I mean, we kind of got into it just to so we could talk to the girls. I mean, mostly, I mean, they would like sit around at lunch and just talk about who was cuter and which one they liked and their favorite songs. And they would sing the songs and they would do the dances. Did you ever do the dance? Or?
You know, I'm not that good of a dancer.
And gotcha.
So, but I probably did. But I have this pair of awesome earrings I'm wearing. I know that, you know, the podcasting audience can't see, but they're, they're pink, like neon pink. And I got those. And then I used to have two sleeping bags. That were New Kids on the Block sleeping bags because I had one at my mom's house and then one at my dad's house.
Oh, okay. And, gotcha.
I just saw like a picture of one recently that someone had posted on like an 80s page I follow. And mm-hmm. I was like, those were the best sleeping bags. So, you know, had the albums.
Yeah, that's cool. I think I had Hangin' Tough. I think that mm-hmm. was the one that I owned, but I didn't own any others. I know their first album wasn't a hit like at all. It was pretty much under the radar. And it wasn't until their second one that they really started coming out. And even then it like almost got them their contract dropped. But like it was like a last minute save, from my understanding, that that kind of all of a sudden they started getting some radio airplay in some place in Florida. And from there, it kind of like turned them into these huge superstars, which is like really cool.
Yeah, it was like, I think I was like, just kind of looking back, and their manager like had to like beg to do a second album. And then, yeah,
that's pretty rough. Yeah.
But then after that, like, oh my gosh, they just like went like wild. So
yeah, they took off. Well, I know, I think they had like five like hits, I think, from their five or six hits from their second album. Mm-hmm. And then of course this one had another hit with the, this one's for the children, you know, this Christmas album we're talking about. And then of course they had a couple more hits after that. And then they disbanded in 94. It was, it seemed like they probably could have kept going for a while.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they could. And yeah, it was just kind of like all of a sudden kind of crazy. And then like, kind of cool they have reunited since, though.
I do like that. Yeah, I thought that was really neat. The thing that always kind of bothered me a little bit about them was that they didn't really harmonize very much. And I wish that they had, because, I mean, there's five of them. They could have had some really cool, lush harmonies. But when they did harmonize, it always sounded great. And so that's why I wanted more.
Yeah, and I think, like just re-listening to this album, just, you know, for the podcast, and you can really tell that like the songs that they harmonize on are the better.
They are. Yeah.
On the album, and the ones that they kind of just do their own thing or try to do something like funky or whatever, like you're just like, really? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I played the album for my, my 8-year-old, you know, and I was telling her about how all the girls her age were going crazy for them. And they all kind of liked, a lot of them like Joey and Jordan. Those are like the, you know, the two big ones. And, She thought Joey was cute, and but yeah, that one funky Christmas, I know she thought was kind of out there. And then the other one, the oh gosh, what's it called? Let me see. Last Night I Saw Santa Claus. Yeah. That one too. She just looked at me like, "What is this?"
Right? Yeah, I know. I kind of I used to listen to it because like I loved it, and it was, you know, because they were like my band, and then. Anymore, it's just like tradition, so I like listen to it, but it's kind of my have to, like I've done it for so long, and now you can kind of like appreciate like the, like I don't know, you're just like, really, like I like this, or like people like this song went like platinum, like what's going on?
Well, it's funny because like the big hit from this album was This One's for the Children, which isn't really about Christmas at all. It's about, you know, giving and taking care of, you know, children and feeding the poor and stuff like that, which is, I mean, that's a great message. And it's kind of like Christmas adjacent, maybe, you know, like it has something to do with Christmas, but it's not really like Christmassy per se. And so it's
for me, just, it like reminds me of like We Are the World.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like they're like, what was a really good song that like got people together, like really popular? Like, yeah, We Are the World. Let's redo that one. I mean, didn't do as well.
Yeah. Well, even Merry Merry Christmas, which I think is my favorite from the album. Mm-hmm. That one, I know there's a couple of lines in there where I thought, I mean, it was like the first half of the phrase was almost exactly like We Are the World.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, I get where they're going with this. And it turns out they donated like all the proceeds from this album to United Cerebral Palsy, which I thought was really cool also. So they were kind of going with like that Band-Aid, you know, Live Aid kind of, you know, raise money for awareness. Let's do a Christmas album kind of thing. And I mean, that's amazing. I mean, you don't really see that anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, I think.
But, yeah, for sure.
So this album came out in 1989. There are 10 tracks, although the 10th is actually just a short little reprise of the opening track. And there's not very many like classic Christmas songs, which I kind of like, actually. I mean, I love hearing songs that I know, but at the same time, I also like hearing new songs and new versions of songs. And so I like the ones that they do. I know they do the Christmas song, you know, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. They also do White Christmas and Little Drummer Boy. And all of those, I think, They do pretty well. I mean, they're good tracks on them, but I think the ones that I really like are the ones that were original. Like Merry Merry Christmas. That one's like my favorite. And then this one's For the Children. I actually think is really, really great as well. Even though, like I said, it's not really Christmassy. Which one would you say is your favorite?
I do really like the Merry Merry Christmas, but I was kind of surprised, like just kind of looking at the order and really thinking about it, that they didn't do that as the opening of the album, because it's like, you know, introduces them to, you know, like the world, like it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Like just how their opening line and it's like the middle of the album.
Yeah. Because don't they even say, like from the New Kids on the Block, what is it? Peace to the World from the New Kids on the Block. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's like the whole, that captures the whole album right there. And so, yeah, that is kind of funny that it wasn't the opener. I think they just really wanted to push that their single, which was This One's for the Children. And then because they have a reprise at the end. I mean, I guess that's why they did that. But yeah, that is kind of odd.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking that, like, why isn't this the first one? And then you'd think, like, maybe This One's for the Children, kind of save it for, like, the finale or something like that. But
oh, yeah.
They, like, opened with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not Maurice Starr, which, by the way, I guess now's a good time to mention that Maurice Starr pretty much formed the group. So he was known for, like, forming and really producing a New Edition. And then he and his partner decided they wanted to like expand after New Edition took off. And so they kind of cut ties with them and then they created this group here, which, I didn't know that Marky Mark was in the group for like a short while. I thought that was really cool too, when I was doing my research, finding that out. Cause I knew that they were brothers, you know, Marky Mark and Wahlberg and Donnie Wahlberg, but I had no idea that he was actually in the group. And I know it was only for like a matter of months, but still that counts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd forgotten that too. So,
yeah, so I thought that was pretty neat. Overall, I know you said like it's tradition, you kind of listen to it every year, but like, what are your general thoughts on the album? Like, why this album? Is it just because you love New Kids on the Block, or is there like a particular way of their style that you like, or you know, what is it?
You know, it's just, I mean, to me, like, just really kind of brings back the memories of being little, because, you know, I was, you know, 9, 10 when I first saw them in concert, and then, like, you know, would have to get their albums every time they had one that came out. And so it's just, you know, something that I remember listening to every year. And it's just kind of just brings back that nostalgia.
Right on. Yeah. And as we know from Tis the Podcast, nostalgia is a powerful thing.
It is.
Yep. So, I mean, I totally get that. I mean, every time I hear like Hangin' Tough or The Right Stuff, I love The Right Stuff, which is kind of a funny story about that. So I remember, I think I was in fourth grade, but I remember this one girl in my class named Marie, and she loved like New Kids on the Block and Bon Jovi. And those are like, she would sing their songs like all the time. And so when The Right Stuff came out, I remember her singing it, and she had like a really nice voice. And so I just remember when she sang it, I was just kind of like, wow, you know. So ever since then, like, I really liked that song. That was just one of those songs that I was like, ah, this is a great song. And then of course, Weird Al kind of parodied it with The White Stuff. It was about Oreo cookies. And the white stuff in the middle of it. And so then I kind of liked it even more because I liked Weird Al too. But so, yeah, I mean, those two things really make me like that song. And so listening to the album, there's no like standout song like that. But on the other hand, Merry, Merry Christmas, especially to me, it kind of gives me that same vibe. Like I could just picture little Marie, you know, singing this song and just me just being like, wow, she's such a great singer kind of a thing. And so there's definitely like that factor that they have that just draws you in and takes me back to an age where like they kind of ruled the world for a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their songs are just so catchy. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Maurice, I know the first album he mostly wrote, and then as they progressed, the band members started like adding things as well. And so they kind of co-wrote and co-produced And I mean, I think they did pretty well on this album, especially, but in all their tunes. I mean, Please Don't Go Girl, what's I'll Be Loving You Forever. I remember that one. That one was huge. Again, The Right Stuff, Hanging Tough, like all those that just, I mean, you hear them and you right away, you're like, oh yeah, that's, you just have it stuck in your head for like, you know, weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty great. And it's funny because I was never a huge fan, but like listening back to this album and then like listening to other songs, like I just kind of threw myself into their music, and they're really cool. I really dig them now.
Yeah, they're just fun to go back and listen to. Like some other boy bands just kind of, you know, have lost, you know, you're mm-hmm. like, they're not really good. Like you kind of maybe just liked them at the time, but like the New Kids I think are pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, my only criticism of them was that I wish they had more harmonies.
Yeah.
That's it. I you're right. Their songs were great. Their vocal, as vocalists, they're pretty great. I just wish that they harmonized more, but that's it. I mean, but this album, I mean, we could just go ahead and get into it. So I only did like an in-depth analysis on their major hit, you know, this one's For the Children. We can talk about that, but I kind of want to talk like the lyrics in general on like a lot of these. And so we start off with that ballad, which we'll get into, but I want to talk about Last Night I Saw Santa Claus, because that is one of the ones that is kind of out there.
Yeah. Like when that one starts, you're like, what? Wait, what is this?
Exactly. I think it's Donnie, right? That's like, it's leading it pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he says, let's see, last night I couldn't believe my eyes, y'all. I saw a big fat man in a red disguise, y'all. He had a fuzzy white beard and big black boots. He had a pack on his back and a red caboose.
That line cracks me up.
I was listening to it with my daughter, and as soon as he said that, she just, same thing, she just bust out laughing. And but she really enjoyed it, and I kind of like that. I kind of want to add it to like my Christmas playlist now, even though it's you know, one of the more out there tunes out of all the album. I kind of just want it on there just because I know it'll make her and the younger ones laugh, especially if she's laughing. They're just going to start laughing for no reason. But once they realize he says like, you know, big red caboose, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love like the beginning, like they just kind of start it out and he's all like talking like, you know, like, I hope everyone's having a Merry Christmas. And, you know, it just starts out like attention getting, like,
yeah. Yeah. It's, they do a lot of that. You know, like same thing in their opener. You know, they're like, hey, we want to talk about something like super important, you know, so pay attention. It's like, whoa, who does that? But I mean, it worked because I paid attention to the lyrics. I mean, at first it made me kind of question, but as soon as they started, then I really started paying attention. And I thought, okay, well, I guess that gimmick worked because I get it. I get what the song's about. And same thing, you're right. It's like, hey, I hope everybody's having a Merry Christmas. You know I am. But I mean, it's funny because, you know, he says, last night I saw Santa Claus sneaking out of my back door. Last night I saw Santa Claus. What's he got in his great big bag for me? What's he got for me? I mean, it's questions that like a kid would ask. And I think that's what made the New Kids so popular, was that a lot of their stuff, even though they kind of tend to be a little more tween and teen, you know, it also still appealed to like, you know, the younger, you know, from 7 to like 10.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
mm-hmm. And this one, I mean, because especially, you know, this is the age when some of the magic starts to get lost. And so I think having them reaffirm that no, Christmas is a magical time, I think definitely means a lot.
Yeah. But, and I like, I love like the middle part mm-hmm. too, where all of a sudden you're like, this song can't get any weirder. And then all of a sudden you hear like John and like, I think it's like Joey, like, hey, what's Santa doing? He's pulling something out of his bag. It's a saxophone. And then like there's this crazy like jazzy saxophone
solo. Yeah.
Goes on for a while.
I loved that. I mean, I thought that was like brilliant. I mean, what better way to, cause that's not really like their style, you know, to have like a, you know, a sax solo, But what, like, that's the perfect way to seg into it. You know, why not? Like, hey, what's Santa got in his bag? And he's pulling out a saxophone. And
saxophone.
I don't think even say like blow Santa blow or something like that. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of like little like dialogue kind of that they do in there when in the middle of that, when they're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny. And I think that's why it's kind of out there, but I really like this one. I mean, it's not my favorite. Merry, Merry Christmas is my favorite by far, but I like this one. And so I'm totally putting it in my, like my Christmas playlist.
Good one. It's like definitely like an upbeat, like just really fun.
Yeah. It's got a nice, you're right. It's got a nice up-tempo, just kind of, you know, backbeat, you know, strong 2 and 4, just boom, pow, boom, 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 you know, just that kind of quasi hip hop kind of vibe. And which I think they did really well. They kind of bridged a gap between hip hop and pop, as far as like, or I guess early hip hop, I should say. You know, it was like, it was very, I mean, Donnie would rap, you know, and so that was
kind of
cool.
Kind of why they like pulled him into the band originally. He was the first member.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's cool.
The bands, and like he was known for like being able to rap. So.
Which is funny because by today's standards, you hear his rap and it's not.
No.
Yeah, it's not impressive. But back then it was still pretty impressive.
And yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. So after that, well, I guess I want to save this one's for the children for last, because like okay. I said, that's the one that I really took a deep dive into the chords and like the structure and stuff like that. So the next song after this is I'll Be Missing You Come Christmas. This one was all right too. I don't know. To me, it just wasn't quite as fun. It was a little more slow. It kind of reminded me of their I'll Be Loving You Forever.
Yeah.
Right?
It sounds a lot like that one. Like they kind of like just took that song and kind of like changed the lyrics a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like they don't quite work well.
Same. Yeah. So let's see. As far as I know, it goes. Let's see. Did you ever really start to cry over something you just wrote? Well, I'm writing you, my dear Saint Nick. It's the saddest little note. Is it fair come this Christmas Eve that I should be alone when she knows how much I'm missing her? Would you kindly bring her home? So, I mean, it's a solid start. I like it, but you know, it's telling a story. That's great. But it's nothing like spectacular. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. It's just a solid. And then of course, he goes on to say, I'll be missing you come Christmas, wishing hard, my dear. Missing you come Christmas, wishing you were here. And it's just a nice little rhyme, that kind of a thing. But the song itself is, yeah, it's kind of slow, just nice little number. I don't know. It's okay. It's a good song.
I just thought, like, kind of like really, like, because I like printed out the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
Just make sure I had them and looked at them. And I just, like, the part that's, a couple parts that kind of bugged me, just like re-listening and kind of breaking it down, is just like when they're singing and they go between like the really high notes and then the low notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just kind of doesn't fit like musically, mm-hmm. I guess. And then they like jump between like first person and third person and like talking to Santa or talking to the girl or talking to like who are they talking to? Like in some of this, it's like they didn't just pick like one person. It's talking to like the audience. It's talking to Santa. It's just kind of, it's all over.
Yeah. There's a lot of point of view issues with this one. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, one thing that I think the New Kids did very well was that, they would go to their falsetto, you know, and go between falsetto and full, you know, just regular full throated, you know, head voice, stuff like that. And I thought they normally did that pretty well, but sometimes, like as in this song, yeah, they definitely, it was a little more jarring, that transition. And it didn't seem like, they transitioned it well. It's someone just thought like, hey, what if you went up, you know, to your falsetto on this part, and you know, that kind of, instead of like making it naturally flow in the course of the song. So yeah, this one wasn't my favorite, but I mean, like I said, it's still just a good solid song, and I like it.
It is, and it like has like a really big musical entrance even before they start the first line, and then just like there's like that big exit, and then they keep doing that falsetto like during that exit. Yes. So like, they, you know, they like kept it, at least they kind of kept like the musical part like solid.
Yeah,
but could have maybe like worked on the lyrics a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. sorry, that's cracking me up.
Like, go listen to this one, people, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, it's a good, solid song. It's just, you know, I think they have better ones on the album. My daughter actually liked this one, which I thought was cool. I Still Believe in Santa Claus. Because she's getting at that age where a lot of her friends are, you know, kind of losing that spirit. And so she really enjoyed this one. And I did too. I actually kind of really liked this one too, which is...
Yeah, it's just a cute song.
Yeah, that's the best way to say it, yeah.
No, you're good. I like it. And I, yeah, it's just like, you listen to it and it's just like... I mean, I think, you know, all of us who are like Christmas lovers, like we believe in Santa always. And It is because like we do have that, you know, we're children at heart and you believe in the magic and you believe in all the things. And I think that song just really touches that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just is like just kind of keeping that spirit with you. And I really like at the end when they said like the last kind of main line is like, this time of year is for giving. This time of year is for joy. May joy and happiness be with you always this day. But you kind of like, you know, carry that with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I mean, like you said, that's all of us Christmas lovers. That's it right there. You know, that's perfectly encapsulated it. But I love how musically they kind of, you know, he says, I still believe in Santa Claus. Maybe that's just because I'm still a child at heart. That's like the full phrase. But I did like how they kind of separated it a little bit. So you kind of lean into it, kind of wondering what's he going to say. You know, he's like, I'm still a child at heart. You know, that kind of a, so there's like a little bit of a pause before they come in. And I love that because it really, you know, like, okay, wait, what? You know, you kind of listen closer. I at least I did. I don't know, but, and then it's true. It, you know, it emphasizes, it's like just puts more emphasis on the at heart. You're still a child at heart. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed that musically. I thought that was a great choice. Of course, he says, you know, and I still believe in old Saint Nick. Then again, maybe that's the trick we need. We need to retreat from a world of make-believe. You know, it's I like that because it says we need to retreat from a world of make-believe. But he's saying like he still believes in Saint Nick. And so he's saying that Saint Nicholas is obviously not make-believe, you know, which so I mean, again, it's like not the way I would have worded it, but I like that wording. It's kind of it kind of plays with your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he says, and I love this part. Let's make this Christmas last forever. Shine a little love along the way for the sake of all children. Let love show us the way. Which is perfect because, I mean, again, this was for, I mean, this whole album was for the United Cerebral Palsy charity. And so, I mean, that's what better way to emphasize that than by writing these lyrics here. Mm-hmm. So I really like this one. And I know my daughter did too. But after this is my favorite, which is Merry, Merry Christmas. And it's, again, it's not like it's anything super special. But I really, really like it. I think out of the whole album, even the covers, and I love White Christmas. I love Little Drummer Boy. I mean, they're great songs, but I think I actually like this version of this song better than those.
Yeah. I think, yeah, this one kind of like surprises you a little bit. Just mm-hmm. like, it's just kind of, it's like ballady, but it's like upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just like a nice, it's just a nice song. There's a few like little lyric things in it, but you know, other than that, I like it. The one thing I do think though, is it's a little bit long.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-minute song and they could have stopped a little bit.
I think, yeah, I agree. It could have been a little shorter. Yeah. But I do like, so yeah, it starts off with, you know, excuse me, you're going to have to sit through this, but, peace to the world from the new kids on the block. We are here. And so it's very, you know, like stepwise motion, you know, bum, mm-hmm. bum, 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 bum. And it's also very motivic. So they have like these little motives in it, you know, dee, 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 dee. So because of that, right away, you get drawn into the melody very, very quickly. And, you know, you have like a sort of familiarity with it because you kind of already see where that melody is going. And mm-hmm. so I love when songs do this because, I mean, it's a way to really make you know the song and learn it fast. So whenever I write songs, you know, my crummy little songs that I write, I try to use motivic and development and use these little motifs, you know, over and over. And so I thought that was brilliant the way they did that. And this one was written by Al Lancelotti and Maurice Starr. So Maurice Starr, of course, like I said, he co-wrote most of the songs on this album and a lot of the New Kids songs themselves. But I like that. And of course, he said, they go on to say, we're spreading all our joy, spreading all our love and our cheers. And then this is when they kind of do that falsetto thing again, you know, cheerful sleigh bells ring. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Then, you know, sometimes quiet. They can't do it either.
So I'm in good company. All right. Yeah, they say cheerful sleigh bells ring, choir children sing, it's peace and love and harmony we bring. And I just love that. That's like that right there, it put me like immediately in the Christmas mood. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go Christmas caroling every year, my family and I, or whenever we're together. And so it just hearing these lyrics just reminded me of like going caroling with my brothers and my folks. I mean, it brought me back. And I thought that was really cool that they could do that in the song.
Yeah. And you can see like, too, just like the chorus, just how like the audience would sing, like, mm-hmm. you know, during their concert, like that they would just be like, so into it with them. Yeah. And this one's also one that they do, you know, the harmony really well.
Yes, I agree. And which is, again, why I wish they had more of it. One thing I did notice is that a lot of their harmonies are either done like right at the beginning of a phrase or right at the end of a phrase, but rarely do they go through a full phrase or like, so you think of like NSYNC and they'll harmonize either the full phrase together. They'll sing homophonically, or they'll, you know, someone will be soloing and everyone else will kind of like ooh and ah and do some things underneath. And so I kind of really like that style. And I wish that the New Kids had done that a little bit more because, you know, they, you can hear, like you mentioned, the gang vocals and, you know, Hail Mary Christmas. That's like a perfect opportunity for gang vocals. But then, you know, at the end of their phrase, when they're singing it and they do actually harmonize, I mean, that's like, that would have been perfect time for them to like do some of the oohs and ahs underneath and then, you know, hit it all together. And so I kind of wish that the arrangement was a little bit different, but at the same time, I love the lyrics. They draw me immediately into Christmas, and I love the melody. It's just a great melody. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really like this one. A friend of mine, she loved New Kids on the Block also. And this is like one of her favorite albums. And so she was telling me that this one was her favorite. So before I had even gone back to listen to this album, I was like, okay, I don't remember it. You know, I remember they had a Christmas album. I barely remember any of the songs on it. Let me check it out. So I went to this one first and she was right. It's like really good.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot.
And I think like, I mean, if you like compare it with like, I'll Be Missing You Come Christmas, mm-hmm. the lyrics are so much better.
So much better. Yeah.
And it's like, there's only just like a couple, like, one, it kind of just made me laugh because it's like when they're like, there's the feeling in the air, and then they said it's beginning, but like how they did it, it reminded me of like Love Actually when they're trying to fit like,
oh,
they're trying to fit like
Christmas is all Christmas around us.
Christmas is all around us. So like that just made me laugh because it's like they just tried to shove beginning into this part where it doesn't really
yeah. fit. Yep, let's just add some 16th notes here. Just yeah.
You know, that's the 16th note right there. And then just like when they say like people stop and stare, the Christmas tree is there. I was like, you couldn't come up with like a better, something better.
Yeah, yeah. But I did like the next line, which is a star on top, which nothing can't compare. Yeah. So I was like, okay,
It works.
That works. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. Because, yeah, I mean, that's like when the tree's up and the stars on and the lights are on. I mean, it's just, you know, that's one of those feelings. It's like immediately you're like, oh, this is perfect, you know. So I get it. And but yeah, you're right. It could have been a better line.
This one only has those two notes. The other song was like a lot of like, this doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So I think they worked. Maybe they used all their creativity on it.
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
They were rushed to get the album ready.
Quick, get it out. We need it out by Christmas. I did like, so the part that reminded me in this song of We Are the World was a time for me, a time for you. It's like, a time for me, you know. And it's there's a choice we're making. I mean, it's just, yeah. Melodically, it was almost exactly the same. But here they go a different way. So instead of we're saving our own lives, it's a time for me and then a time for you. I mean, it's just, you know, you can tell that they go to a different chord there. And so I really liked that because it was like, wait, I know this. Oh, no, wait, I don't. You know, that kind of a feel. And I like when they subvert expectations like that. I mean, yeah. I think that always makes for an interesting song. Of course, then lyrically, it just goes, there's enough love to last our whole life through. Well, okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. And then they repeat the chorus, which is nice. But like, again, just a couple too many times.
Yeah, I think they could have. You're right. They could have just. Once, yeah, that probably was too much.
Because it just feels kind of like after that last line, and then they did the chorus one more time, that the song is going to be over. And like, I like looked at the time today, and there was still like a minute 30. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, they probably could have cut that bridge and that refrain, and then, you know, a couple other refrains, and it probably would have been fine. Oh man. Yeah, this is funny. I like this album. Of course, then we get the Christmas song, which is just a nice little standard version. Although I did like the synth, you know, they had like some synth strings and electric piano. And I thought that made it work pretty nice. But it's, you know, everybody knows a Christmas song. So when I heard it was just kind of like a nice little warm blanket because I knew it.
And I think this was one too. They did a nice job like harmonizing and
exactly
just didn't make it too crazy. Cause you know, if you look at like this album kind of goes from, you know, there's some nice like ballad type things and then there's some like really crazy stuff. So like, what are they going to do to like
the next song,
the traditional songs? And I think they kept all of those really nice.
I agree. I think they respected the material. They just did good versions of them. They didn't go crazy like they did on this next one, Funky Funky Christmas.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like they're Santa's elves and they're like, you know, hey, what's, you know, it's getting kind of boring here. Let's spice things up a little bit. Let's make it funky. And
right. So Donnie actually co-wrote this.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
So
no disrespect. I mean,
you could tell.
Yeah.
It was kind of like an amateur songwriter, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But we got to talk about these lyrics here.
they're great.
So he starts off and he's like, ho, 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 little train, my little elf, another great Christmas. Oh, man, it's boring. It's boring. Same thing every year. So let's have a funky Christmas. And then we get to like that, have a funky, funky Christmas, which is actually really catchy.
So I was like, you know, getting ready to be on the podcast and I remembered that they had a cartoon that ran from, it was like 1990 and it was like just one season. And so I was just like kind of remembering it a little. And so I was kind of looking at YouTube and you know how you get stuck in YouTube.
Yep.
And the Christmas episode was actually their last episode of the whole series.
Okay.
And so I watched it before the podcast and they play the songs throughout this, but this song, Funky Funky Christmas, this opens the show and is featured quite a few times. So you'll say like, have a funky, funky Christmas. And it's like playing in the background. And it like, yeah, they like really liked this song in that cartoon.
I mean, you think about it though, and it is really catchy. I mean, it's just that little clip. I mean, I could see that being used in like commercials in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
Like for sure. I mean, that's just one of those things that's like, it's totally would be used, you know? So I get it, but it is kind of odd. Yeah. I think we're going to definitely have a follow-up episode where we just talk about that. Christmas
facts. Like, yeah, it was, I don't even know like how to, it was like ADD, like this episode, like, I don't know if they knew where they wanted to go, but yeah, it was a good one to end the series on.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
But yeah, I'd love to talk about it.
It's funny because I had completely forgotten that they had a cartoon until you just mentioned it a little while ago. And I thought, oh yeah, I gotta look that up. I mean,
yeah. And it's like, I mean, just like from my memories of it, I know it would be one that I'd have to watch Saturday mornings. And you know, it's one of those, since it was a season, you probably saw every episode like 15 times, mm-hmm. but you know, you still watched it. And it was always them, like it had like live clips of them. And then it was like the cartoons of them, which weren't actually voiced by them. But I always thought that when I was little.
we don't know any better when we're little. Yeah.
Right. I mean, my whole like, I just got crushed by that when I read that. Hey, that's okay. I'm over it already.
Okay.
But it's just so funny. And they would like, I mean, just like every episode, it was like they were like trying to get to their next concert, and there's always something crazy that happened, and they'd have to like help somebody or do something or whatever and make it to the concert in time. And they always like made it just last minute. And there's always like a nice lesson to be learned. And they'd show like live clips in the middle of it. It was just nuts. But like, what other boy band got a cartoon show?
None that I know of. I know there was a cartoon called Kid Video. I don't know if you remember that one. And it was like a band formed exactly for the cartoon. And so they wrote songs and recorded videos and stuff specifically for the cartoon. It was never, I think their album was released in like Israel and that's it. But they were like a band that get transported into a cartoon world. And then like the bad guys after them or something like that. So none. I mean, it's literally just the New Kids.
I mean, like the Beatles were in like some of the movies, but not, you know, that's like, that was like different, but
yeah.
Yeah. It was just, yeah, we have to talk about that because it's just a crazy episode.
Okay. I'm down. I'm down for it. Cause yeah, I had completely forgotten that they had a cartoon. that's awesome.
I kind of had too until like I started kind of digging up my memories. So.
All right. Well, now I'm like super excited to go check it out.
Yeah, when we're done,
you have a funky Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, these lyrics are just like, it's like between rapping, because like, you know, like Donnie was like rapping mm-hmm. different parts of it. Like, I think my favorite part is they're like sneaking downstairs on Christmas Eve. I saw a sight you just wouldn't believe. But it's like rapping it kind of in a strange British accent. You notice that?
Yes.
It's like, what? What is this? Is this supposed to be Santa, like British, like Santa rapping? And it kind of reminded me like they were trying to be like the Beastie Boys or something.
Oh, maybe. I could see that, actually. That checks out. That makes a lot of sense. I can see that. It's funny, you know, like Yo MC Santa, you didn't want I can't even do it. So props to Donnie for being able to do it. But so I'm just gonna read it here. But Yo MC Santa, you didn't know my boy Donnie could play percussion, did you? You know, I didn't have a clue. And then yeah, get busy, Donnie. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's weird. It's like it's almost like it's just, you know, his thoughts, you know, just free association, just you know, random, just his, what's it called? Like your train of thought. There's a word for it. I can't think of the right now. Like he's just
it's like writing, stream of consciousness.
Stream of that's yeah. It's almost like just stream of consciousness.
Yeah. And then like that, and then that like crazy percussion in the middle.
In the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded like he had not even like drums, but he had like a, I don't know, like a Glockenspiel or like something that was just like, I don't know what instrument it was, but it was like, it was so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I, and there's a lot of that. I mean, we talked about the saxophone in that other song, you know, where he's like, oh, look, he's got a saxophone for you. And then sax solo. And then it's like, hey, you know, you didn't know Donnie could play percussion. And then he starts playing percussion. I mean, it's weird, but I still kind of like it. There's still like a charm to it. That,
And it's like, it's fun. Cause it's like, it's like Danny, Donnie, Joe, and Jordan all mm-hmm. like have their own verse.
Yeah.
And like Jonathan was like, I'll sing Little Drummer Boy. Or no, he sang White Christmas.
White Christmas.
I'll sing White Christmas, guys.
He's like, I'm good. You do your thing. I'm just going to sing White Christmas.
I'll just stand back over here. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's just like, I mean, what other Christmas song has like, it's Christmas. Can you swing this? A funky dope jam top on your Christmas list. Do you dig this? Like, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It's not lyrically. It's not like, you know, it's nothing special. It's not Shakespeare, but yeah, there is, I mean, I still think there's like a charm to it. There's something about it that's just like, okay, I like this. And then it's all tied together with that, just, you know, that have a funky Christmas, that little bit there that kind of ties it all together. And it's like, so like I was singing that like all day long, just, you know, mm-hmm. have a funky Christmas, you know, just getting into it.
That would be a good ringtone.
That like, would be a good ringtone. Yeah. I'm going to challenge Anthony from Tis the Podcast to put that as his ringtone this Christmas.
I second that.
All right, Anthony, it's up. Challenge has been extended. Let's see if you take it. But yeah, so this one was fun.
And then at the end, when they list all the people, like their manager, you can hear him say Maurice Starr, and they like list all their people.
Oh, yeah.
Like at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do they say? It's like their posse or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Posse. Oh, Biscuit, Andre, Butch, Johnny. I mean, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, let's just list the name of people we know.
And then the end, they're like, peace. And I mean,
well, that was in back then, you know, peace.
You know, it's a good song when you end it like that. Yeah.
I agree. Oh man. The funny thing is that you have this one, and this is definitely the most out there out of all of them. I mean, even more than the I Saw Santa Claus one. I mean, but then after that we go with like two standards, you know, which is again strange. Like, why did they group them here? Why didn't they put them in other places? And mm-hmm. to me, I think because I like the album, but I think it would have benefited more from like just a rearranging of some of the tracks. You know, like what we were talking about, like White Christmas and then Little Drummer Boy. I mean, again, good songs, great arrangements, nothing crazy, just nice, good, solid arrangements of them. And they sing them pretty well. I did like in White Christmas how right away they open it up with some harmony, but then mm-hmm. it kind of disappears again. It's like, like, no, guys, give it to me. Come on. Yeah. I love that. You do it so well when you do it. Like, just do it, please.
Maybe. I mean, they're still like, together, maybe we need to like get a petition going to get them to harmonize more. Right?
Like re-release, please re-record your album and
with harmonies,
yes.
Yeah, I think White Christmas, like it's Jonathan who like, he's kind of like the one that no one really remembers from the band, you know, kind of the quiet one, Jordan's brother. And he actually sang this one, and I thought he did a really good job.
It shows
like how good of a singer he actually you know, is when you don't, mm-hmm. he's kind of drowned out by like the rest of the band because he's kind of like the quiet, shy.
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of faded into the background just because The other ones were such large personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Jordan, you know, with the collar and the jacket and all that. And, you know, of course, Donnie with the, you know, his hats and
yeah.
all that. I mean,
like on that, the cover of the album, we haven't talked about that. Like.
No, we haven't yet. Yeah, it's definitely a cover. I mean, what kind of, is that a top hat with like a green ribbon on it?
I screenshotted it to just like have it to look at. Yeah, it's like some, I don't know. It looks like a weird top hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that there was like a heavy metal band that like parodied the cover for one of their albums. So I thought that was kind of cool too. It's like, hey, that's neat.
I mean, it's a pretty fun one. Like you could do lots of fun Photoshopping nowadays, like people's heads in it.
Now I kind of want, I hope Chris from Christmas Time in the City is listening to this so he can Photoshop our heads on this.
Oh yes, please do that because that would be great.
Because he's really good at Photoshop. Yeah, put me, I'll be Jordan. I don't mind. Or I'll be Joey. I don't care. Yeah.
But, and it's like one of them is like wearing shorts.
It yeah, like. I think
and
so. Yeah.
Sandals and socks.
As far as I know, that was never popular. I'm sorry.
No, especially like when it's snowing and cold.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, it's cool because they're all kind of what on like a sled or I mean we don't have yeah. snow here, so I mean I don't know the difference between a sled and a toboggan or
yeah,
whatever.
It looks. I guess I would say sled too.
Yeah.
I don't know how they all five are fitting on it, but.
Right. yeah. And it's like snowing. And but then I like how their logo is kind of like a tag, like they kind of mm-hmm. make it like a little tag and then there's a ribbon. So it's kind of like a gift. I thought that was a pretty cool touch.
Yeah. And I like it's like their Merry, Merry Christmas is kind of like scattered throughout their like where it says New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah. Like you can't really like you can tell it's a Christmas album more like visually like by the picture than
right
like, the tag or whatever because you can't really
right yeah
I and I like a tiny little screenshot so maybe that's part of it but
I agree and then I like because they're wearing like reds and greens that kind of mm-hmm. really makes it stand out as a Christmas album as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do White Christmas, then they do Little Drummer Boy, and that one I think sung by Danny. Which he was the other one, right? That I think we mentioned earlier that like a lot of the girls liked Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then they have a reprise of This One's for All the Children, which again seemed like an odd choice. And I don't know if it's just because they really wanted to hammer home like this is our single. You know, learn it, memorize it, or if it's just because they needed another track.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's just the kids singing, isn't it?
I think you're right, yeah.
It's the kids being like, you know, this one's for the children. And they just like are repeating that. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, I mean, it seemed like an odd choice to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I thought White Christmas and Little Drummer Boy were pretty strong. I thought, like I said, they were good tracks. You probably could have ended it on one of those and been fine. But
and I kind of expect, like you kind of expect, if it's going to be a reprise, that it'll be more than just like the kids singing. Like it'll be the
right.
band singing something or saying something. Or
mm-hmm.
so I think maybe like just choosing that made it a little bit weaker.
Yeah, but. I agree. It reached number 9 on the Billboard 200 the weekly charts. The year-end charts was 99th. But yeah, it went double platinum, so it sold over 2 million records. I mean, that's significant. That's something mm-hmm. there. So yeah. It did really well. This was their third album. Of course, they kind of had a little bit of a. I don't want to say legal issue, but I know they kind of, after Milli Vanilli, people kind of started messing with them like in the, like 92, 93 about how they would use a backing track as well during their concerts. But it wasn't, I mean, they would sing. So it wasn't Milli Vanilli. They were actually singing their parts. It was mostly just like for some, just vocal support and harmony. So, I mean, again, it's a shame because I think these guys are pretty talented. And so I mean, who cares? I mean, look at all the other, I think that what they really got in trouble for was that they were using a track instead of like hiring singers as they went. So like, I mean, you think like Fleetwood Mac, you know, I mean, they do three-part harmonies, you know, Christine and Lindsay and Stevie, but then like for some of their tunes, they still on tour, they still have like two or three background singers, you know, that can do extra harmonies and stuff like that. So I think if maybe they had done that, I think they probably would have been fine and wouldn't have gotten any flack. Of course, they ended up breaking up in 94, but
I also read today, I forgot that during this time, because it was like their second album came out pretty like this one and the second album came out pretty close together.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had three singles on the Billboard Hot 100 at the same time. So it was Didn't I Blow Your Mind, Cover Girl, and then this one's for the children.
Cover Girl, that's the one I always forget. Yeah, and so it was like three singles from three different albums. Because
mm-hmm.
it was like a, not a re-release, but it was like from one of their songs was from one of their first album.
Yeah, because they finally got popular, so people were finally listening to that
exactly,
one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like something very few people have ever done. So that's really cool. Again, it's like they have a lot of really neat stuff. They had their own cartoon. I mean, I remember the merchandise, I mean, was like all over the place. They were like crazy merchandised. And then, you know, same thing with something like that. I mean, that's just, I mean, you don't see boy bands doing that anymore. I mean, even when like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and all those were popular, I mean, they still didn't, I mean, it was nothing like that. So New Kids like came around like at the perfect time. They had that perfect combination of like sound and style and management that just made it really work.
Yeah. And they were like kind of like the precursor to all these other boy bands that came after them. But I don't think, you know, I think that the other ones like did get really popular, but this was just definitely, they were like the right place, the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, it was just kind of like magical, I guess, that their second album like actually got released and then like went like viral kind of.
Yeah. It's just fate, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, Columbia was literally about to just like end their contract when suddenly it blew up. Nominated for Grammy for Best Music Video. I know they won at the American Music Awards. They won Favorite Pop Rock Band, Duo, or Group, and also Favorite Pop Rock Album for Hangin' Tough, which again was really is significant. And then in 91, they were nominated again for Favorite Pop Rock Band, Duo, and Group, although they didn't win. Not too bad there. I mean, they had like a couple of really great years.
Yeah.
Good for them. And then, of course, they've been on, you know, all sorts of stuff and since then. And as I mentioned earlier, they came back on Fuller House, which I thought was really cool.
I loved that. You were like, oh, my gosh, the New Kids on the Block, like just as excited as everyone on the show was.
Well, because, you know, that they were around when it was like when the show was big. So it makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And it was like, yeah, it was like awesome that they like did that and mm-hmm. kind of made that show even like cooler.
Yeah. So before we go, or before we get into, you know, the next bits, I really wanted to talk real quick about this one's for the children. So this was like their main song. They start off on the one chord, then they move to a three. And then from there, they go to like a four, which I thought was really cool. Because then in the bass line moves up to the five, you know, the dominant. So it's C. So it's like a four chord with the C and the bass. And so it gives you kind of a sense that it's like a dominant chord, like a five chord that would lead to a one, but it's like it has a suspension on it. But at the same time, your ear also picks up that four chord is like a plagal cadence going down to the F. And so I thought, again, really kind of genius writing there, because it's not very common. And then it's pretty much standard from there. It's like one, five, six, you know, there's a 2-5 in there, stuff like that, 4-5-1. So that's pretty common. But I love how they, a lot of times they'll hold that four and then move, you know, the bass note goes up to the five just to bring it down to one. I just think stuff like that's really cool because it kind of plays with your ear a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just, I think it's a really good message. I think it, you know, does fit really mm-hmm. well for like Christmas time, even though it's not like, doesn't say anything about Christmas.
Right.
But just kind of that message of like, you know, take care of each other and, you know, like help each other out. And you mm-hmm. like, you would think about that, like at Christmas, you know, and like books and movies and stuff, it's always like, that's the time people need the most help, or that's when people give the most help. So.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And when they get into the chorus, you know, this one's for the children, they do like a really standard chord progression, which again, I think is really smart because it helps to give the listener a sense of like, oh, I know this, like a familiarity. And so it's just like a 3-6. And then normally you'd go 2-5, but you could do 4-5. And so that's what they do. They do 4-5 and then back to the 1, you know, 3-6-4-5, 3-6-4. And then they do a 2-4-5, which I think is, again, kind of genius. But that 4 has that 5 in the bass. And so, you know, it brings it down. And so, you know, it's really neat, but it's nothing spectacular, but because it's so standard, it makes you feel like you know it. And so when you hear the song, it's like, oh yeah, I get it. And then it's just, you know, a little nice little catchy, you know, do, 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 which is brilliant. So yeah, I really like the song. Again, like you said, it has to do with Christmas, even though it's not Christmassy. So I like to say it's Christmas like adjacent, mm-hmm. but it works. And it actually did really well. It was like one of their top 10 singles, I believe.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kim, I got to ask, like, what would you say would be your happiest memory of this album or New Kids on the Block in general?
I think one of my happiest memories was like getting to go to their concert, because that's especially like how young I was back then. Like, I know it's kind of more standard for, you know, concerts, like take your kids younger to concerts, but mm-hmm. like that was just like awesome. And I remember like being there.
Nice.
And like getting to see them and just being so excited. And like, I mean, it was awesome. And so that just kind of, I think, solidified my like love for them. And it's just like one of the bands that you'll listen to forever. Like, you still know all the lyrics, all the songs, and mm-hmm. you don't know like what else, like what do I not know that, because I know like the lyrics to, you know, New Kids on the Block songs, but you still say like Hanging Tough, like, you know, front to back, but whatever.
Push out all the other stuff.
I don't know. So yeah, like it's just, I really just always will remember that. And
awesome.
It was a really cool experience.
That's awesome. For me, I think my happiest memory would be listening to Marie sing it, because I remember her singing it and it was so cool. And I thought, it's like, wow, she sings so good. I hope I can sing, you know, really great. And because of that, I went and listened to them, and that kind of got me into it. So, you know, I really dug that. So that would probably be mine. But now we come to my favorite part of the show. Normally, this is where we do a gag me with a spoon, but because you're a fan and I'm a fan and I like it, we're going to do a to the max. So this is where we do our best impression of our favorite part, you know, or instead of our least favorite part. And then same thing, I'll put it up to the voters and they can decide, you know, the winner. The winner, of course, gets a totally rad Christmas sticker unless I win, but I still haven't won yet. So I think you're pretty safe. Just go ahead and like tell us what song you're doing, and, you know, just kind of set up for us, and then go ahead.
Well, hopefully I'm not stealing yours, because I know how much you like this.
Okay.
How much you like this song.
Uh-oh. Who wore it better? No. I'm just kidding. But
I really like just like Merry Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Again, like I just kind of like looking back, I wish the album kind of opened with that, even though this one's for the children was so important. But I really like when they're like, peace to the world from the New Kids on the Block, we are here. And you just feel like,
nice,
you're with them, and like,
yeah,
you know, like it's gonna be a, like a good time, and they're, you know, just like it's gonna be like joyful, and it's Christmas.
That was really good, by the way. That was
really good. I pulled out like my way back in the day when I was in choir. So.
I don't sing correctly at all. So I just I was trained instrumentally, not vocally. So I just try my best. Same song, but I not the part that I picked. So I actually picked the refrain, the gang vocals. I think that's my favorite part, where, again, excuse me, but Hail Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas. It's all about peace and understanding. Something like that. I don't know, whatever. I think you won. all voters, you know, hey, go ahead and tell us which one of us won, but it wasn't me. And and yeah, it'll be fun. Yours is really much better.
Thank you.
But it does make me wonder, you know, G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say the other half is?
You know, I was thinking about this really like long and hard because, you know, it's really important to get this figured out. And so I think if knowing's half the battle, the other half the battle is if the New Kids on the Block start a song with, "This is a very serious message," you better listen to that song and all the lyrics.
That's, yeah, you're darn right. That's good. That's better than mine. Mine was if knowing's half the battle, the other half is singing more harmonies. So
we need to pass that along to the New Kids.
I know, because I like when they do it. But oh well. Kim, it's been so much fun talking New Kids on the Block with you. Final thoughts?
This was my first podcast that I've ever been on, and it was so much fun. And I just like appreciate that you invited me. And
sure,
it was fun reminiscing.
It was. This is a good album. I like it. Yeah, there's a couple of songs here and there that kind of stand out a little bit. It's like, I don't know why that's on there. But overall, I'm glad you reminded me of it because I'd forgotten about it. And so I'm really excited that you did because it was so much fun. And like I said, several of these songs I'm actually going to put in my Christmas playlist. And my daughter liked them. And, you know, if you can please the 8-year-old and the 4 and the 2-year-old, they'll just kind of follow along. So that's exactly all you need.
And I'm going to continue listening to it every year. So.
There you go. Right on. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say, United Cerebral Palsy aims to be the indispensable resource for individuals with cerebral palsy and other disabilities, for their families, and for their communities. You can contact them at 800-872-5827 and at ucp.org. So, for the sake of the children, show them love's the only way to go by checking us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling the peace and love and harmony the New Kids bring, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
Are you tired of not being able to fit your 8-hour VHS tape full of holiday specials into your car stereo? So was I, till I discovered the Advent Calendar House. It's a podcast, you know, on the internet. They talk about all your favorite holiday specials.
I'm the most important part, because I'm the Christmas toy.
From the must-watch Christmas classics...
Humbug.
To the lost treasures at the bottom of the bargain bin.
I'm Olive, I'm the other reindeer.
Now I don't have to hook up a VCR to my car battery anymore. Thanks, Advent Calendar House. Visit adventcalendar.house now to download your first episode free. And all the other ones free. It's a free podcast. Just go listen.
Gadgets, toys, greed, avarice. I love it.